This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Pakistan's interior minister said Sunday that the families of Afghanistan's Taliban reside in his country, including in areas around the capital, Islamabad. He also said the insurgent group's members receive some medical treatment in local hospitals. The admission by Sheikh Rashid Ahmed came during an interview aired by a privately owned Pakistani television channel, Geo News. It is a significant departure from Islamabad's consistent rejection of allegations by Afghan leaders that the Taliban use Pakistani soil to direct and sustain insurgent activities in Afghanistan. Pakistan has long blamed its nearly 2,600-kilometer open border with Afghanistan for facilitating militant and other illegal movements between the two countries. Additionally, Pakistani officials say about 3 million Afghan refugees reside in the country, which sometimes serves as a hiding place for Taliban insurgents. Many of the displaced Afghan families have fled years of war and turmoil in their poverty-stricken country. Separately, Pakistan Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi told reporters Sunday that violence and chaos could grip Afghanistan after the United States and NATO allies withdraw all their troops from the country. That is supposed to happen by a September 11th deadline. The United States said Sunday it carried out another round of airstrikes against Iran-backed militia in Iraq and Syria, this time in response to drone attacks by the militia against U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq. In a statement, the U.S. military said it targeted operational and weapons storage facilities at two locations in Syria and one location in Iraq. It did not disclose whether anyone was killed or injured in those strikes, which came at the direction of President Joe Biden. This is VOA News. At least 15 people were burned alive or shot in a horrific attack in central Burundi after armed men blocked off a road and started killing travelers, according to security sources on Sunday. The Saturday night ambush mirrors similar attacks staged in the East African country last year. Armed men barricaded a road with boulders and sprayed bullets into vehicles. They also set two buses on fire, burning the passengers alive in what one witness said were scenes of horror. At least 13 people were burned alive and two shot dead, according to witnesses and a local official. In Somalia, al-Shabaab jihadists killed at least 12 people Sunday in a raid on a town and military base in the central part of the nation, according to army and local officials. One source told the French news agency that the attackers were pushed back and many of them had been killed, although the exact number of dead was not clear. The source said the attack started with the detonation of a vehicle loaded with explosives. Al-Shabaab confirmed the attack and claimed 34 soldiers at the military base had been killed. Authorities also announced Sunday they had executed 21 al-Shabaab members. That would be the largest ever execution carried out in Somalia. Israel's new government on Sunday pledged close cooperation with the United States, despite expressing serious reservations about efforts by Washington to rejoin the international pact to restrain Iran's nuclear program. Foreign Minister Yair Lapid and U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met in Rome Sunday. It was their first face-to-face meeting since the new coalition government assumed power in the Jewish state, ending the 12-year control by former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Ahead of their talks, Lapid acknowledged that in the past few years, mistakes were made in relations between the two countries, with Netanyahu closely aligning himself with former U.S. President Donald Trump and Republicans in the U.S. Congress, at times to the exclusion of close ties with Democratic officials. Lapid said Israel's bipartisan standing was hurt. He added, "We will fix those mistakes together." The United States is seeking to rejoin Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China in the agreement to block Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. Former President Trump withdrew the United States from that pact in 2018, saying it was not tough enough on Tehran. Lapid did not spell out Israel's objections to the U.S. rejoining that pact, saying only that Israel has some serious reservations about the deal. You can follow that story and all the stories we're covering at our website, voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. This is VOA News.